What is that? What are they, number one, and what's the import, the impact in these financial types of discussions and getting folks on this pathway that you talk about?
Yeah, it's crazy that they're there, right? But they're with conversations with money, just like they are with everything else. So criticism is considered the first one. You don't think of these as happening in order necessarily. The second one is called contempt. And that is criticism on steroids. So you've gotten to kind of a moral superiority, rolling eyes, sarcasm, that kind of thing. Very hurtful. Yeah. Defensiveness. And, defensiveness is going to raise its head if there's any criticism. And of course, if there's contempt. And then final shutdown, which is actually called stonewalling in the Gottman language. So on that pathway, we use that language to sort of have that common language and be able to see, oh my gosh, that I just did that. That was defensiveness. And then we can, just that awareness can kind of help you shift.
I'm Julie Bullitt. I've been a family therapist for over 30 years.
I'm David Bullitt. I've been a divorce and family lawyer for more than 35 years.
Together, we have been married for more than 37 years.
In our professional practices, the two of us have been witnesses to individuals and families struggling with life's most difficult challenges. In this podcast, we will talk about the conversations we have had,
the conversations we should have had,
and those that every relationship needs to have in order to find success, happiness, and fulfillment.
This is Conversations for Couples,
the podcast.
Welcome back to Conversations for Couples,
the podcast.
So one of the big problems that couples face, and we've talked a lot about it. We talked about it in our book. We've talked about it ourselves. We had our own problems, is in the area of finances. We dedicated a whole section to conflicts around finances that couples see, hear, and feel in their relationship. And we're here today with someone who's going to help us talk about how to navigate those little minefields that we all deal with in the financial arena. Dee Zimmerman helps couples talk about money without fight so that they can manage their money together and, most importantly, manage it peacefully. In her work blends the Gottman-informed communication tools with practical financial strategies, all designed to reduce stress, get on the same page, and yes, something we all want, build wealth. Welcome aboard, Dee.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you for that intro. That explains it quite well.
Yeah, I'm a good intro guy. That's why Julie lets me do it all the time.
Yeah.
She asks the good questions, I do the intros.
But, got but it. We're, it takes
we're really
apart.
Happy to yeah, have you.
Partnership.
Let's start with from the top down. Why is it so difficult for couples to talk about money?
Yeah. I think it's difficult because we grew up in different families. And I think we're surprised by that when we come into a marriage. We don't realize that that impacts money, our perspective on money. We might think it impacts our perspective or our way of communication, maybe other things, but I think we're taken by surprise. Mm-hmm. When we try to work out money, we're like, what? Mm-hmm. It's emotional? Mm-hmm. You don't look at it the same way that I do, and we don't, because it is a language, so to speak, money is, and it just touches so many things. And we learn different things about it growing up, and it's really rare to come in with the same perspectives on money in a marriage.
Yeah, some people are savers, some people are spenders. Folks may have come to a marriage where they've had plenty of resources, never really had a need for anything, right? Whereas someone else, you know, had to go to work at 14 or 15 with a work permit at the local ice cream shop, raising
it's
my hand.
It's going to shape you.
To make some money to help, you know, pay for things that they want. And that in and of itself causes some degree of difference and conflict, I assume.
Right. And managing money is not that, I mean, it can be simple. I try to make it simple with the people that I work with, but we also have different ways of processing information, of organizing things in our minds. And that, we apply that then to how we manage money. And if our partner does it very differently, that can cause a lot of anxiety or a lot of confusion, frustration. So just our natural money wiring as well. That's kind of what I call it. In my work is money roots. We just talked about that and money wiring. So.
Yeah. So give us an example of, you know, a couple comes in to your office or you're meeting with a couple for the first time. And you, it sounds like you sort of start with the concept that you were raised in different, you know, places and you may have different definitions or ideas of what money looks like or how it serves you or those kinds of things. So after you kind of present that information, what other areas do you try to, you know, get couples to think about?
Yeah. So that is one of the first things that we do is look at those money roots, right? Ask lots of questions, kind of walk through money scripts to see what resonate with them. What kind of scripts are they still walking around with money? Dreams is another thing. So we really start with building awareness in the beginning. We don't just jump into the numbers and practical strategies yet, but really build awareness. So, that's another thing would be dreams. Helping couples learn to talk about their dreams again. Sometimes we have abandoned our dreams because of maybe money decisions that we've made that we regret. We might think that we can't dream again. We don't deserve to be dreaming, you know, to have those dreams alive anymore. And we may not really understand what our spouse's dreams are. And so I walk them through that and help them to have those conversations again about dreams. But the tricky thing is that I have found is they will try to have the conversations about dreams, but they'll immediately jump in with some kind of qualification or judgment of that. Oh, well, we can't do that. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not practical. Well, how do you expect to have that happen? You know, if patterns have not been that positive when they've talked about money. Mm-hmm. And so it's one of the first things that we do is, as part of that awareness, is to learn how to talk about money again mm-hmm. with curiosity.
Yeah, I love that. We talk about curiosity in relationships and that being a key factor in really communicating, perspective taking, and talking to each other. So I love that you brought that up. So one of the things, and this is a personal example that David and I went through early on in our relationship was we read this book called The Secret. I don't know if you know that book or
I don't think I do.
Okay. It's an older book and it was basically
writing it down right now.
Yeah. Well, there was a big movement to read this book and it will help you get to successful places and it will help you sort of like envision your future and those kinds of things. So we both read the book and then we both kind of decided that we can get what we want and do what we want and the money will come.
Right. That's the whole, the backbone of this book, right? Is this mentality that if you believe it, if you think it, that if you keep talking about it and saying it, that it mm-hmm. will come. Well, the problem is that the stores and the credit card companies didn't read the book. So they come, and we found ourselves in a little bit of issues early in our marriage for that reason and some others. But tell me a little bit about, and you talk about a wealth partnership pathway.
Yeah.
And that's what I want to get to is, okay, so you've had these discussions that Julie asked you about to sort of talk about the dreams, what people want, then their concerns about what's realistic. What do you do to get them on this path? And what is it?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So in the beginning, we do build that kind of awareness of where do they come from? Well, how do they look at money? And, you know, what are their dreams? And sort of reigniting those again. We also have to identify the patterns. So that's part of the pathway. Identify the patterns that they have in their communication around money. And try to interrupt those. Mm. Try something new. Try to make shifts. To make those conversations more powerful, more peaceful. And, we dig even deeper into their personal, like I mentioned, money wiring. So what is my natural inclination towards money? And what kind of emotional spending patterns do I have? Mm-hmm. You know, that's not necessarily your natural wiring, but it is how you respond under stress. That's your emotional spending habits, your power, patterns under stress. And again, it's kind of all, it's in an environment of emotional safety that we're trying to build where couples maybe haven't had that before. Right. So yeah, it helps that I'm there. But you know, they're learning how to have these conversations again and to feel safe again and through that curiosity, learn more about, well, this is, I understand now why you do this. Because this is, you know, when you're under stress, this is your pattern. And then, of course we don't stop there. We have to move then into the numbers and we have to move into the systems. But we do have to create enough emotional safety that we can actually look at the numbers and that we can actually work on systems. And the timing is tricky with that. It depends on what they're bringing in.
Yeah, in what way, when you say the timing is tricky, in what way? What do you mean?
There has to be enough emotional safety to be able to actually look at numbers together without a fight and be able to talk it through. Mm. There has to be enough openness and cooperation to be able to bring in strategies and systems. Sometimes those practical systems, and I'm just talking about like tracking cash flow, what accounts do we have set up? How do we automate these things? What are our roles? Those are some of the things that I'm talking about. It just scratches the surface. But sometimes we have to bring in those sooner because there needs to be or there hasn't been transparency in the past. Mm-hmm. So unless we're actually tracking the numbers, I don't know what you're doing over there. And I have this terrible feeling that money is flying out the window. I need to know what's going on. I can't have secrets. Mm. So that's why I say it's tricky. It kind of depends on what we're dealing with. If the relationship is so volatile at the beginning, there's been shut down, you know, it's just nearly impossible to talk about money. Well, then we do have to just focus on the relational dynamics first.
Run into a fair amount of defensiveness, right? From one or both of the partners in terms of whether it's spending or what may have happened in the past or what they want to do down the road, right? How do you deal with that?
How do you deal with that defensiveness? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's interesting you bring it up because, yes, I actually use the, and I know you're aware of this, of the Gottman.
Yeah, I'm Gottman trained.
I'm working on that level one and two. The horsemen are so helpful. It's a helpful language that we can share and that couples can share and helps them identify when that defensiveness comes up, which is one of the horsemen.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about, you know, I don't want you to give the whole class, but tell the folks out there, when you're talking about the horsemen, and Julie and I have read and she's trained, I just have read.
Yeah.
What is that? What are they, number one? And what's the import, the impact in these financial types of discussions and getting folks on this pathway that you talk about?
Yeah, it's crazy that they're there, right? But they're with conversations with money, just like they are with everything else. So criticism is considered the first one. You don't think of these as happening in order necessarily. The second one is called contempt. And that is criticism on steroids. So you've gotten to kind of a moral superiority, rolling eyes, sarcasm, that kind of thing. Very hurtful. Defensiveness. And, defensiveness is going to raise its head if there's any criticism. And of course, if there's contempt. And then final shutdown, which is actually called stonewalling in the Gottman language. So on that pathway, we use that language to sort of have that common language and be able to see, oh my gosh, that I just did that. That was defensiveness. Mm-hmm. And then we can, just that awareness can kind of help you shift. But I think in answer to a question, like how do you deal with defensiveness? Yeah, it does start with that attitude of curiosity, mm-hmm. having regular money conversations that aren't heavy. They're just light. You're just exercising.
Like,
you know,
micro conversation.
Yeah, yes. I think you have some of those in your book, don't you?
Yes, conversations, micro repair sessions, micro, because we can do things that are little and then we kind of put our toe in, like, oh, we talked about money, we talked about a budget and we didn't fight. Yeah.
And we've worked with folks and I've represented clients in my divorce, you know, my law practice, in which, you know, particularly older couples that are on the, you know, in the gray side, you know, in the 50s, 60s and beyond, where,
like me,
where one of the partners, and traditionally that has been the female, you know, at least at that age bracket, you know, it just says to me, I never paid attention to any of that. And, you know, that was his job. And how was I supposed to know? And what was I supposed to do? You know, I did my job and he did his. So I don't really know, kind of a thing. And so it sounds to me like part of what you're doing is creating this environment, this safe environment for people to learn.
Yeah, right. And I mean, studies show when there's cooperation and a partnership, like a real team, not just one taking care of it all, net worth is higher.
Yeah.
So absolutely. I guess that's why I use the word partnership a lot. I like it. Team I use too, but I just think it's awesome to be able to develop that. And I've seen so many sad stories too, or seen, you know, of women later on, they get, whether it's a divorce or loss of their husband in the situation that they might be in. It can be the opposite, but it's typically that, you know, and maybe that will change over time. But.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to ask about some specific strategies, because that's like the meat of, you know, people listening to this podcast. I want to know, like, you know, like three or four or five things that couples can do like right now. But before that, I want to just kind of talk about David and I's experience. You know, we got ourselves The Secret, the book. We got ourselves in really great debt.
Stop talking about that book.
We got ourselves in a good debt situation, like good. And what we did was together, we got all of our bills and all of our debts, and we sat down and we had like the, you know, come to Jesus talk, and we basically came clean with what we had in front of us. And then we started to plan together how we were going to get out. And it was really hard. But if you asked us what, you know, what has helped our relationship or what has made us stronger, I think the two things that I would say would be, you know, navigating having a child with mental health and addiction issues, number one. Number two would probably be the financial, you know, issue of like getting out of debt and getting back in a place. And then the third thing would be infertility issues. Those would be like my three things of what was hard, but what also connected us.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, if you can get couples to do the work, they usually come out stronger in the end. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would absolutely agree with that. I get to see that.
Yeah, I love
that. Yeah, and it's a beautiful thing, but I love the other examples that you brought up. But that is really special that the two of you grew closer together because of the money issues that you had to deal with. It doesn't always go that way. It can be, unless you must have found some good ways to navigate that, and I'm happy that you did.
Yeah. I would say that we were really lucky with, you know, being able to communicate. So good communication skills. We didn't do a lot of blaming, which I think was very helpful. And honestly, like, we both have professions and income, and that was very helpful. And we didn't take that for granted. Like, I could say, okay, I need to work a little bit more, you know, hours. You need to, you know, try to take some more cases on or whatever. And so I think we were very lucky in a lot of ways to be able to get out of the debt that we put ourselves into.
Yeah.
Before you ask about the three or four strategies, I have an overall strategic and, you know, a planning question. And that is, how can this sort of alignment, right, this sort of getting on the same path, how have you seen that impact you know, couple's wealth, their retirement plan, their decisions, decisions about their kids' college and those types of things.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, when you said that, the first thing that came to my mind is the biggest impact I've seen is just stress, health.
Yeah.
Getting on that path and the strength of their relationship. I mean, being able to enjoy mm-hmm. their relationship and enjoy their family. I think a part of that is aligning with values. And that's part of the work we do too, is to dig in and reconsider with fresh eyes, well, what is really important to me in life? That's got to be part of a money conversation, because we make choices rather than just doing what everybody says around us. And we're like, oh yeah, well, that must be my value. So really reevaluating those values and getting aligned with that and making intentional choices with how we handle our money based on that, based on the kind of lifestyle that you want. But sometimes we don't stop to ask those questions, those really important questions. So I got going off on that, and I That's can't okay. remember yeah. the question and whether it was really related to that or not.
You sort of answered it, but which gets me to one follow up, and then I want to get to Julie's,
okay.
Julie's, you know, what everybody
a couple
of sound bites. But
yeah,
in your work with couples, do you sometimes bring in other professionals, like, you know, a financial planner to help? Okay, we've got our path. We know. So you've worked with these folks to get them on the same path. This is what their plans and their goals are. Now we got to take this pot of money or what we're going to earn or what mm-hmm. we have, and we want to apply it. Is that something that you work with people to do, or do you bring someone in to sort of help navigate that part of it? Now we invest in AT&T or Verizon or whatever the heck.
Yeah. Yes. And yes. Okay. I guess it depends. I'm kind of glad you asked the question, because I do like the higher level of financial planning, and I'm really quite passionate about empowering people to manage their finances on their own if they are interested.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have sent people to a financial planner, financial advisor, because it was the right thing for them. And it's the right thing for them sometimes if they would respond to the market emotionally, right? It would be better to have, yeah. If they're getting close to retirement and there's more complexity and tax strategies to look at, but a lot of people, their main retirement vehicle for growing wealth, there's lots of layers before that, but is their employer-sponsored plan. And they can manage that on their own, but they don't understand the language. Investing language. They don't understand how it works, what all those crazy things mean, and so forth. So yes, when it's time, I talk to them about that and educate. I love educating in that area. When it's right for someone to get connected with a financial advisor, I have connected them with that.
Okay.
That's great.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So now let's get to the top two takeaways. If you could tell these folks, here's what I want you to remember from this discussion. Give us two.
Ooh, I think one would be compassionate towards yourself and your partner, because there are reasons why you think of things differently, look at it differently. And please start with curiosity. I have, 52 for every week conversation starter on money, and just start having some conversations where you can be curious and don't judge. That would be one of the first things I would say, just to make that shift and start and not be so scared, and to start to make a connection in a positive way in the money world. Yeah.
Sounds great.
Well,
I know that you have this wealth talk guide, and if folks want to get a hold of that, want to get a hold of you, mm-hmm. what's the best way to do that?
Yeah, I mean, everything lives in my website. So it's dzimmermanfinance.com, and that's just the letter D. Mm-hmm. Didn't need two E's in that. And and if they really just want to get started in an easy way, there's a quiz they can take. It's called the Money Talks Quiz, so they could identify the kind of communication pattern that they have with one another around money and just get a better understanding of what's really happening.
Love it.
Yeah.
It's always interesting to me when people bring a different perspective to a particular topic or a particular area.
Right.
And when most of us think about money, we think about numbers. And you started out this discussion and I think have hammered home for me, and I hope for the folks that are listening, is that it's not just numbers. There's a lot more that goes to it. It goes into it when you're in a relationship, when you're in a marriage, when you're in a couple. And you've been wonderful. We are so happy to have had you there, folks. We will have all of Dee's information in our show notes. Please listen, pay attention, give her a shout, because these are hard discussions. So give Dee Zimmerman a call. Thanks again, everyone. This is David and Julie Bullitt. We are The Bullitts, T-H-E-B-U-L-I-T-T-S, on all major social media platforms. And this is Conversations for Couples,
the podcast.
Julie Bullitt is a professionally licensed clinical social worker and family therapist. David Bullitt is a divorce and family lawyer. Julie is not your therapist, and David is not your lawyer. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only.